Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian. This is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So you'll have to forgive me. I'm navigating everything on my computer. I usually print out all my notes and have everything kind of right in front of me, but not so today because in my zeal to get rid of the printer that is my arch nemesis, I unplugged it and pulled it out before I printed off my notes for this week. So, and before the new one got here. I could stay in that printer, though. It gave me so many problems. And so I was so excited about getting our new one. And I pulled it out and, you know, all those things. And then didn't realize the printer was not coming as soon as I thought it was. So anyway, I'm having to go off of all my notes on the computer. So there might be a little bit of back and forth as I have to navigate multiple programs on my computer to be able to do it. But anyway, hope you've been having a great week. We have had beautiful weather this week here in South Carolina. So the kids and I have just been eating it up, and they're getting all fired up, ready to go camping. And I mean, they think it's summertime already. They wanted to get a slip and slide out today. And I was like, guys, I know it's, you know, compared to the 18 degrees that it was, you know, a week and a half ago, this is very warm and summer-like, but it's, I guarantee as soon as that water gets fired up, you guys are going to change your minds. So anyway, but I hope you guys have been having a great week. So a couple things I want to talk about. Very first thing, we're going to talk about the border. That's the big story this week that I want to discuss. But the first thing, I'm just going to mention it, is Ron DeSantis. Since he pulled out, of course, last week, but we didn't get to talk about it because I had the interview lined up already. So he withdrew from the race, endorsed Trump. People were big mad, and, you know, kind of texting me and blowing my phone up about it. But look, I get it. DeSantis just didn't shine on the campaign trail, though. I mean, we got to be honest, for whatever reason, I can't really explain it. He really shone brightly as a governor during COVID, but just really fell flat in his presentations and debates while running for president. The real question that lots of people have now is whether Trump can pull in the white suburban women that he lost in 2020. And of course, he's going to have to do that and win by such a huge margin that the cheating the Democrats do won't be able to overcome his numbers. That is what I'm not sure he'll be able to do. I think he's going to pull in some folks that obviously, you know, I mean, I see all over the internet folks who said, I've never voted Republican in my life, but I can't wait to pull the lever for Donald Trump. And folks who I voted for Biden in 2020 and voted for Hillary in 2016. And, you know, but they're saying, I have no doubt that I'm going to vote for Trump this time. So it's going to be very interesting, kind of as time gets closer, what's going to actually happen. But of course, we also have the factor that the Democrats cheat. And, you know, he's just going to have such a huge margin that that's not possible. So, you know, and it's more than just the bad economy. I know I've been kind of talking about the bad economy recently and that's such a huge factor for people, but it's more than that. And that's just how this is what I'm seeing people talk about is how unhinged the progressive left is, the Democrats are regarding the transgender stuff, regarding the just pornographic books in the library, some of this stuff that really targets our children. And people out there are just saying, no, that's a bridge too far for me. And a lot of folks saying, I didn't move to the right. You know, I haven't changed anything about what I believe, but the Democrats left me behind. They went so far left that I'm now in the middle. And so, I've seen a lot of that too, and folks talking about that. But people, you know, people are also wondering why anyone would trust him after COVID-19 and its fallout. But I think people are willing to extend grace for what was, and I hate using this word, but, you know, it kind of does accurately portray what happened in 2020, but it was unprecedented. And they're willing to extend grace for that simply because they feel so insecure regarding our border, our economy, and our international relationships, not even talking about all of the craziness with our children, with the LGBTQ plus agenda and how they're targeting our children. Have you been seeing this story about a 50-year-old man going around traveling the country? And I think it's in Canada. Could be wrong, though. Might be here in the United States. So sorry, but he, you know, traveling around to swim in swim meets and with young middle school, teenage, junior high girls, and they're being forced to share a locker room with him, with a 50-year-old man. That's insanity. And first of all, these parents that are allowing that to happen, I mean, I'm sorry. But, you know, if I were, where are all the men at? Where are all the dads at? Because, you know, somebody just needs to be dragging that man out by his terribly hair-dyed blonde hair and throwing him out of those locker rooms. And we need some men to step up and say, not on my watch. But anyway, that gets me really fired up. But, you know, so people, though, all these other things are concerning them. And if our border was secure and our international relationships were stable and our economy was flourishing, it would be a different story. But the reality is that those things are not stable, so people are picking stability in those areas on the gamble that a worldwide pandemic won't happen again. And while I do hold Trump responsible, especially for pushing the vax so hard, and we've seen the terrible consequences of the vaccine, I also put a lot of blame on the leader of the COVID-19 task force. And that would be the too nice to say it like it is about Fauci and Birx and have them fired pusillanimous Pence. I think we do forget that Trump relied on Pence heavily during all of that. If I were an advisor for Donald Trump and didn't have a moral compass, I would have advised Trump to throw Pence under the COVID bus and blame his trusting Fauci and Birx on Mike Pence. But I'm not sure how true that is. And we don't want to be dishonest. But, you know, if it is true that he really relied heavily on Pence, which I think is true, but I think he probably could put some blame on Pence. But no one asked me anyway, so I don't have to answer that question and deal with that. But anyway, I just think that people are willing to make the gamble because everything else is going so poorly. All right, so the big story of the week that people have been asking me about, and this is what my phone's really been blowing up about, and that would be Texas versus the feds. So I'm going to jump over here and make sure, okay, we're still running smoothly. Sorry. So recap. I'm going to recap everything. I'm going to give you some quotes. We're going to talk about the Constitution. We're going to talk about who's in the right here. And were the various things that have happened. Now, remember, there might have been some things that have happened since I recorded this podcast because I have to, you know, in order to get it ready for you guys on Saturday, I do have to record it Thursday evening. So Thursday evening, there might have been something that happened Friday. So I'm going to try to give you the most up-to-date news that I can for what's happened this week and previously regarding the border. So and we'll talk about all the happenings for really the last 2 weeks since, you know, we had the interview last week. So Texas Border Patrol, they've been putting razor wire up to stop the flood of illegal immigrants coming across the southern border. On Monday last week, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to allow the Department of Homeland Security to remove the razor wires that's being set up by Texas along particularly a section of the Rio Grande. The DHS stated federal law gives Border Patrol agents authority within 25 miles of the border, and the razor wire impeded the federal agents' ability to apprehend migrants. That would be conservative justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh voted to allow a lower court ruling stopping the DHS from removing the razor wire to remain. And then, of course, Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Amy Coney Barrett voted with the liberal justices. And, of course, lots of people really upset with Barrett over this one. John Roberts, totally unsurprising. Barrett kind of did surprise me, but also didn't surprise me. Anyway, not going to get into all that. But attorneys, next thing that happened, though, is that Monday of this week, attorneys general representing 26 Republican-led states sent a letter like I said, on Monday of this week, demanding that the Biden administration simply enforce the law and protect the border. And I want to talk about a couple of things that were in this letter so that we all are brought up to speed on exactly what was said and exactly what's been going on. And so the letter told the truth about the dire number of illegal crossings happening at the border and the criminal consequences. One of the things the letter said was that, quote, the federal government should be working to stop this crisis, but it is not. And the Constitution's guarantee clause requires that the federal government do so. It must protect each state against invasion. And that's quoting the Constitution guarantee clause. But it has abandoned its duty. Nothing in the Constitution stops Texas from stepping up and doing its part to protect itself, and in so doing, also protecting states across the country. To those that contend this power belongs only in Congress, they should take that up with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who stands with Texas. By following the Constitution, Texas is doing what the federal government has failed to do. And then the letter went on saying that states must be able to defend themselves from invasion. No one seriously contests that point. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 lays out the circumstances that states may act to defend themselves in a crisis, including when they are actually invaded. Justice Scalia said it best in his dissent in Arizona versus United States. States have a sovereign interest in protecting their borders. End quote. So that was some of what the letter contained. And the attorneys general closed their letter with a simple request of the Biden administration asking it to, quote, enforce the law and protect the border. And then they added, quote, if you cannot bring yourselves to enforce the law, get out of the way so Texas can, end quote. So that's what happened with the letter from the attorneys general. 26 Republican states sent this over. Following this, on Tuesday this week, the U.S. House Homeland Security Committee voted 18-15 to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for refusing to enforce immigration laws and permitting an illegal alien invasion of the United States. Led by Chairman Mark Green, the committee voted, as expected, along party lines. The vote in committees sets the table for a vote by the full House next week, after which the charge will go to the U.S. Senate, who will no doubt vote to acquit him, as they are Democrat-led and the Constitution no longer matters, only whether someone is my guy or your guy. And that's the thing I can't stand. And, you know, that's the danger, though, and I'll just throw this out there, of lots of folks who, you know, getting excited about Democrats voting Republican and deciding to, I'm never voting for another Democrat again, only Republican, blah, blah, blah. Problem is not all the Republicans are good guys either. So you can't just run around and be like, we're just going to vote for somebody because they have an R by their name now. They're not looking as bad as a lot of the Democrats are right now, but they're still, a lot of them are still not abiding by the Constitution of the United States. And there's still a lot of problems with those guys. And we just have to be paying more attention than just whether somebody is a Democrat or a Republican. Okay. All right. So let's take a brief break. We'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about Mayorkas and why they're going to impeach him. And then I'm going to answer two questions. We're going to talk about the part of the Constitution that addresses this and why that word invasion is so important. And basically what I think is actually going to happen and what should happen following these events between the Biden administration and Texas. We'll be back in a second. So our court, Kirkwood, wrote an article and really, and I'm relying heavy on this because he really summed up this report really, really well. And so I just want you guys to know that this summation that I'm going to present to you guys, a lot of it comes from our court, Kirkwood, and an article that he wrote. And it's a really great work by him. And so anyway, just credit where credit's due, as always. So the committee's move to impeach Mayorkas came after it released a brutal report that detailed his crimes. And the report summarized five others. They showed that Mayorkas has, quote, ignored, abused, or refused to enforce eight laws, ignored 4 court rulings and told at least 24 lies to Congress and 50 lies to Americans. The report also showed that Mayorkas not only has no control over the border, but also permitted drug and alien smugglers to seize control. End quote. The report goes on and it documents the devastation that Mayorkas unleashed upon American communities, which includes Americans being raped and murdered. I mean, how many stories have we seen that about that in the news? He also delivered a crushing bill to the taxpayers to pay for it all. The cost of Biden's illegals is $956 per taxpayer and exceeds the gross domestic product of 15 states. As the committee was preparing to take down Mayorkas, 10, and this is the part that I don't think has gotten enough attention, 10 former FBI agents told top members of Congress and committee members that Biden had permitted the importation of what Kirkwood termed an illegal alien sleeper army of military-aged men. End quote. And he's not wrong. Just watch any video of the thousands upon thousands flooding the border, and you'll realize, by and large, these are not destitute families looking for a better life. The country has been invaded, and as Kirkwood stated, the invasion won't stop until someone stops it. Quote, it would be difficult to overstate the danger represented by the presence inside our borders of what is comparatively a multi-division army of young, single adult males from hostile nations and regions whose background, intent, or allegiance is completely unknown. And that's from the top, these 10 FBI agents, former FBI agents. And then they continued and they said, quote, they include individuals encountered by border officials and then possibly released into the country, along with a shockingly high estimate of gotaways, meaning those who've entered and evaded apprehension. A startling number had been found on the terror watch list or are from countries designated as state sponsors of terror or distinctly unfriendly to the United States. These men are potential operators in what appears to be an accelerated and strategic penetration, a soft invasion designed to gain internal access to a country that cannot be invaded militarily in order to inflict catastrophic damage if and when enemies deem it necessary, end quote. And that was all from this letter from these 10 agents. That is what Mayorkas permitted and why he must be impeached. But, and this was the last statement from Kirkwood, if Mayorkas is to blame, so also is Biden, which raises the question of why House Republicans won't impeach him for the same high crimes and misdemeanors. Phenomenal question from Kirkwood. I'd like to know that as well. So, two things we need to talk about. Having laid out the entire situation, what's been going on at the border, the Supreme Court ruling, the House impeaching Mayorkas, this letter from the FBI agents, two things that I want to talk about here. One, what is Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the Constitution? And two, is the term invasion important? So, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the United States says this exactly. Quote, no state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops, or ships, so they can't do any of that, ships of war, in time of peace. Enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded, or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. And there's your answer to the second question. Is the term invasion important? Yes. By using that term, the 26 AGs, the House committee, and the 10 FBI agents are reinforcing the constitutional right Texas has to defend its borders. And this is where we get caught with this, because this has come up before, and everybody says, "Well, we're not at war. We're in a time of peace. We're not being, you know." And they're thinking, in their minds, they're thinking, "We're not being. There's not boats, military boats, running up on our shores and shooting people on the beaches." Okay, is that the only kind of war that or invasion that is possible. Absolutely not. And that's why what we're seeing happen here, the kind of apprehensions we're having at the border, the kind of men, primarily men that are coming across that are being caught, that are on the FBI's terror watch list and are from hostile countries to us. All of these things, these FBI agents, the AGs, the House committee, they're all saying, look, this is an invasion, and it is an invasion from countries that should really alarm us. And so at no other time in our history could we say that we have been invaded in such a way. I mean, all the other times that they have brought this up, there was legitimate argument, in my opinion, when it's gone into the court systems and people have debated on whether or not it was an invasion. There were some times, in my opinion, that I think it was pretty legitimate. But if of all of the times, this is the most legitimate and the most concerning what's going on right now. So it was very important for them to use that kind of phrasing. And I don't think any of us could argue if we just are seeing at all and knowing the information coming from the border about the kinds of men that are coming across and where they're coming from is very concerning. And nobody has a question about whether it's an invasion or not. And okay, so is it a friendly or an unfriendly invasion? Well, that question answers itself. Unfriendly because of the countries that these folks are coming from, with the intent that many of them have, and with many of them already victimizing American citizens across the country, to be completely honest. So, next question. Is Texas going to secede or go to war with the feds? That's the question a lot of folks were texting me and asking and wanting to know what I thought about that. And I think it's the question that's on a lot of people's mind is what's going to happen between Texas and the federal government. Are they going to secede? Are they going to go to war? No, probably not. In my opinion, what is the most likely outcome? And you're really even starting to see this already in just the few days that a lot of this has gone down, because the Supreme Court put out their ruling and Texas just said, you and what army? And they've continued to put up the razor wire and completely ignore the Supreme Court ruling. And so everybody's thinking they're going to come to a clash, a military clash. And look, I think the most likely thing is that the Biden administration looks the other way and pretends they never said anything to Texas. Look, they achieved their goal. They've imported over 6 million new Democrats and drains on our social systems in order to destroy the United States. Remember, that's their ultimate goal. I can't see the Biden administration going to war with Texas. I think he'll divert everyone's attention to something like, hey, I'm going to declare war on Iran, which he's already done this week, and hope everyone forgets that he ever went to the mattresses with Texas, okay? And that's what I'm betting the feds do. But I could be way wrong on that. There's always room for me to be wrong on this stuff. What should happen, though, both Mayorkas and Biden should be impeached, and then Congress should refuse to fund Biden's removal of border security measures. And that's not just me saying that. Ron Paul wrote an excellent article this week in which he shared something Representative Thomas Massie said on Twitter, X, whatever you call it. Massie recounted that in a meeting with the late Justice Antonin Scalia, Scalia told the group of U.S. House members, quote, to quit complaining about Supreme Court rulings and start defunding rulings they oppose, end quote. Congress has the purse strings. They should simply cut off border funding unless it's a border wall. And as Ron Paul said, quote, nullification, specifically of this Supreme Court decision, through the power of the purse is an important tool given to Congress in the U.S. Constitution, and it could be easily exercised in this case, end quote. You hear what I'm saying? They just, Supreme Court rules something. Congress says, well, you know what? We have the ultimate power because we have the purse strings. Cut off any funding that's going to go to the border unless it's going to build a border wall. And so the Supreme Court can rule something all they want, but if there's no fundings by which to support it, well, Sorry.
Well, Congress isn't going to do all that, so why should we even talk about it? I can hear you through the microphone. Because you need to know that there are options. There are routes that could be taken to rein Biden and his administration in and to nullify a poor Supreme Court ruling, but Congress is unwilling to do it. But guess what? You have the ability to vote those lily-livered, conniving opportunists out of office. And now that you know what opportunities they had, but refused to take, instead of believing their lies that there is nothing of merit that they can do, you will know that those are lies, and you can act accordingly. That is why I tell you these things. Despite the fact that it just seems, well, you know, we want to throw up our hands and say, Congress is never going to do that, so why are you even talking to me about about this? Because you need to know that there are options, because they will try to gaslight you and tell you that there are no options. And there are. The same thing was true for the abortion debate. Congress should have defunded Planned Parenthood 100 times over. And, you know, said, well, we're just going to completely nullify the Supreme Court ruling from 1973, Roe v. Wade, by, there are no funding. And you know what? We're not going to give a license. We're also not going to grant license to or monies of any sort that go to abortion clinics across the country. There's a lot of ways that they could have done this, but they don't want to. You see? And so we need to be educated that there are more ways to skin a cat. And this is a way that it could happen. And so just remember, we really should be impeaching Mayorkas, Biden, and cutting the purse strings on this thing. And I'll end with the quote again from Scalia. Quit complaining about Supreme Court rulings and start defunding rulings you oppose. That's what we need to be holding Congress to. All right, that's what's happened this week. Hope you have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Production. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.